Last Sunday, we concluded ordinary time in the end of the church year with the feast of Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, prayerfully anticipating that day when Jesus will come again in glory, the very day he's describing in the gospel today. But as that was the end of the church year, now this Sunday, each year with the beginning of Advent, a liturgical year begins anew. And whereas in the last year, we were listening to the Gospel of Mark, the oldest gospel and the shortest gospel, now in this new year just begun, we're starting with Luke, and we're going to keep hearing from him all throughout this coming liturgical year. And whereas Mark was the shortest, Luke's gospel is the longest. And yet it's only part of the story, because he wrote it in concert with the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the two to be taken together. And when you put them together, that means that St. Luke is responsible for one-third of the total content of the New Testament. His gospel telling the story of Jesus' birth, ministry, death, and resurrection, and the Acts of the Apostles talking about the highs and lows of the first decades of the early Christian church. But unlike some others, Luke was not an apostle, he was an evangelist. An apostle is someone that knew Jesus, was chosen by Jesus, sent forth to preach in his name. An evangelist is someone that's collected all the evidence and faithfully passes on the traditions of our faith as was told to them. And that's where Luke comes in. And so his gospel is firsthand accounts given to him that he faithfully reports to God's people. Whereas the Acts of the Apostles, he was on the scene, accompanying Paul on his missionary journeys and able to share with us the stories of the gospel spreading like wildfire all across the known world of that time. Luke shows us a Jesus who cares deeply for the least among us, for the sick, the suffering, and the poor. Cares so deeply, in fact, that he would give his life that others may be free. And even though we're preparing now in the Advent season to celebrate Jesus' birth, we find him at the end of Luke's gospel, very near to his death. It was in the middle of chapter 19 in Luke's gospel that Jesus went up to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And now in the middle of chapter 21, he's just about to enter the upper room to wash the feet of his disciples, to have the Last Supper, and to be arrested. And even though he's only hours from his death, and he knows exactly when that's going to occur and by whose hand, Jesus is not reflecting on his death. He is showing no fear in the face of it. In fact, he's looking beyond the horizons of his death, even beyond the horizons of the resurrection, because he's looking to the end of time, that day when he will come again in glory and majesty. That is the contrast then between the two comings of the Christ. The first was in weakness, where Jesus, who is God, God so immense and intense that he breathes stars out of his mouth as the maker of all that is and all that ever will be, all of a sudden chose to take all that greatness and put it into a human baby, so weak and vulnerable, needing the tender love and care of Joseph and Mary. That was Jesus at his first coming. In his second coming, as he describes it today, people will die in fright of that day because he will come in such power and glory and majesty. Only those who will die in fear who have not lived in faith. For those who have faith that Jesus is God, that God is good, and that he sent his son to save the world and not to condemn it, the thought of his second coming is not something that is off-putting or inspiring fear in the hearts of us. Instead, it's a reminder to us that we want him to come again, because that's the only way that we can go home, because this isn't our home. This isn't heaven. I've said it time and again. We are in exile here. We are refugees. And this world will always be hostile to the gospel we profess. And in this world that is filled with so much COVID and cancer, sickness and sadness, disappointment and death, we would long for that day when we get to leave this all behind and go and see the face of God surrounded by all those, our loved ones who have gone before us, marked with a sign of faith. The difference between Jesus' death and ours is that he knew when his was going to occur, and we don't. He knows when he's going to come again, but we do not. He has left us in that healthy state of suspense so that we might always be preparing, both for the day when we will pass in this life and for that day when the Lord will come again to bring this world and everything in it to its conclusion. Advent is a reminder to us not only to prepare for Christmas, but to prepare for the coming of Christ and not just his birth, We know very well how to do that. But to prepare more actively for his return, and that means trying harder to treat people better, to sin less and pray more, simple things that we can do that will help us take baby steps towards the crib, towards the cross, and eventually towards the kingdom of God. And yet during our Advent, so much of what we do is preparing for Christmas, but not so much preparing for Christ. Preparing for Christmas is the shopping, the shipping, the baking, the decorating, but not any of that is going to bring us any closer to a deeper personal relationship with Jesus. Rather, preparing for the coming of the Christ is preparing for his return. And that means that we fight our demons, face our battles, knowing that Jesus has already won the war. And so, my friends, yes, we want to shop and ship, bake and decorate. We want to make our homes beautiful for the guests that we will welcome this Christmas season. But the Lord, who found no room at the inn in Bethlehem, is looking for a more welcome home and a more beautiful one in the human heart. So let us make sure we spend some effort, besides all of that decorating and preparing for the coming of Christmas, to spend at least some time preparing for the coming of Christ.